Bob, I am worn out by the discussion of failed sprints. I'm so worn out that I even told one of the teams that I'm coaching that it's a global epidemic, the concept of failed sprints. It just failure over and over and over again. And like, we have to do something about it. So today's episode, we are going to set everybody straight on what the heck it means to fail a sprint and how to effectively plan one. And more importantly, how you win a sprint and then keep winning. So I'm fired up. We talked about spice. Bob's throwing out tamales. He hasn't said enchilada yet, but he's named all of the peppers. So this one could be a hot one today.
A hot jalapeno. Jalapeno.
Okay. So let's first talk about failed sprints and what you and I see as the most common scenarios that causes teams to get frustrated or sad even.
See, I'm struggling with your use of the word failure.
Okay, good.
Because it's so binary. And yeah. And so because you're saying failure and then planning and having difficulties, I'd almost like to reframe it, Josh, because failed sprints is sort of a narrow thing.
Yes.
In my view, it's like, did you meet your goal or not? Whereas sprints can struggle with, right? Teams can struggle with sprint stuff, like lots of stuff, like planning. So could we say struggles and then how to avoid them? Would that be an okay reframe?
If you want to, you know, be all soft about it,
no, that's fine. Oh, I'm not being soft about it. What I'm saying, it's about precision.
Oh. No, I am actually on board with that, because what I see thrown around as failed sprints is the number of points that were put in it didn't equal the points that were delivered. And
okay.
There's times where that's appropriate. And like that's where I get frustrated, is that's the label that gets slapped on it, is like, hey, we signed up for this many points. We did that many points minus something.
So,
or whatever.
And so let's look at a failed sprint. What would you, and I'll kick off my idea and then see how you react to it. So I actually think failed sprints is not, there's not 100 reasons a sprint fails. There's 100 struggles in a sprint, but to me, it's a binary decision at the end of the sprint. The team has a goal. The sprint has a goal. Mm-hmm. The iteration has a goal. The team establishes the goal. It's a content goal. It's a demonstrability goal. It's a working software goal. It's not a document goal or a Bob is smoking a cigar goal. It's we're going to deliver some stuff together, and this is what we're going to deliver. It aligns with the product owner's vision, but it also aligns with feasibility of the team, like what they think is feasible. And then to me, they sort of lock and load on a goal. Now, you can make some minor adjustments to it. I don't think, you know, along the way. But let's just say there's no disruption. Then to me, there's not 100 things. It's not points. It's not hours. It's not a parking lot. It's not, you know, how did I work in the office or not? It's did we as a team? It's not even individual. At some fundamental level, I don't care what the individual engineers did, right, each day. It's like, did this team meet their goal? Now, I do like a binary. We either successfully met our goal, so we succeeded, or we failed to meet our goal, then we failed. So that to me is like the exit criteria. I know you're not going to agree with me, so go ahead, hit me.
I actually do. That's the discussion I'm trying to drive, and the discussion I've been having over and over with teams and with companies is that it is very challenging for many teams and organizations to clearly articulate, here's the business value we are going to deliver in this sprint.
Yep.
You know, people get the business value. What does that mean? What is different for your users, for your customers at the end of this sprint than it is today? What can they do that they couldn't do? What is now faster? What is smaller? What is quicker? What is one button press instead? What what can they walk away with and say, like, my life is different.
Exactly.
And you know what? It's better because of this. And so many teams have a hard time doing that. And that,
I would agree with that. I agree.
And so there's not enough product thinking when you're planning sprints,
you know,
as to like, hey, here's the difference we're going to make.
You know what I liked? Again, it's been a long time since I've coached teams, but one of the things I liked is in sprint planning. So at the beginning of a sprint, I wanted the team to take a little time and say, plan the sprint review. Plan the demo. I'm going to use the word demo. Some people like demo. Some people don't like the word demo.
Yeah.
I'm going to say plan the demo. So the goal, we have a goal, but I also want that to align with what are we going to show, right? What is the CEO going to be able to see working, right? What does that demo look like? Not so much a script, but I want to plan what features we're going to show, what aspects we're going to show. Maybe, oh, we're not going to show these bugs. Cool. We're just going to fix those bugs. But what is that? What is the aha? Let's say we have to seed a database in order. Let's say we have to set up some special database parameters as part of that. Well, then we would plan, and it's hard to do that, or we need to go into production, or we need to go into a senior staging environment or something, whatever it is, plan that. Because that, it's not just delivering software, it's the ability to show it and get feedback on it, right? So it's not just showing it, it's demonstrating it, getting the applause, or getting the feedback and saying, you know what, I don't like that. We need to do it, and then pivot right away. Okay, well then what is that? What's the next step? I just rambled there. React to what I, any reaction?
Yeah. Where people struggle is they get so focused on the stories and the points and all of those things. And those are important. Those are your tools to identify, can I deliver this end goal that we have? Can I deliver the thing? Yep. So I was working with the team this week and we got to a clear and well-defined sprint goal.
Yep.
And inside of that, we had all the stories that the team knew were going to be required to achieve that. So like, these are the three things we have to do to be able to show the sprint goal off at the end, like be proud of the thing that we did.
Yep.
And so based on velocity, the number of points to normally do, there was space left. And so it's like, well, now what do we do? And I was like, well, what's the next most important piece of work that we could do, Mr. or Mrs. Product Owner? Well, it's this story. Okay, cool. Well, do we want to pull that in or not? And then like all hell broke loose. Because it's like, whoa, like if we pull that in, there's no way we can, like, this sprint's going to fail. We can't get the points done. Like, that's not going to work.
Don't pull it in.
Wait a minute. What does a failed sprint mean? That's where, like, my head exploded. Like, wait a minute. Why is this all of a sudden a failed sprint? We set out. We had a goal. We do these things. We're going to achieve it. And now we're moving on to the next thing. How is that not a victory? Like, that's, like, changing the lens with which people were looking at things, because as soon as we put in something where it was a potential stressor and people started to get nervous, then the fear of failing dropped. It's like, wait a minute, like, hold on, people, like, let's calm down.
It's
our goal is to deliver this, and we just said if we do these three things, boom, we got it.
Now if you can't, so to me, you can add content as long as it doesn't disrupt the goal and you have the capacity to deliver whatever you add to done. So I've actually coached teams to say, look at the next story in priority order and can you get it done? And let's say the team says, you know what, we don't have a backend developer to do that. But the next one, we have the right skills available to deliver that one in a day. Well, okay, so skip the fifth, right? And go to the sixth. That's okay. And then we'll come back to it in the next sprint. What I'm saying is those pool decisions are also related to capacity, because I don't like carryover stories. Because if you didn't look at your capacity, then you would be sort of pulling in a story that you knew you couldn't get done. Right.
I am okay with a carryover story.
Oh.
I'm okay with that.
No,
man. No. We have hit the spice, my friends.
Yeah.
The spice is
around. This isn't even spice. This is a case of right and wrong.
Yes, you are wrong. So I coach teams whatever's most important comes next. If there's air quote 1 point left in the sprint, but the next story for us is 8 points, bring that sucker in. Why? Because we're going to do the most important work next. It doesn't matter whether it fits. That's not a failed sprint. That's us doing what we believe to be the next most important piece of work. And we're going to do that. And if somebody comes and says, like, hey, you failed a sprint, again, this is how we got here, of, hey, you failed a sprint because, like, you brought this 8 point story in with like a half a day left. Yeah, we did, because you know what? That's the next most important thing for us to deliver for our customers. So we're working on that.
And that's, I can tell that you really feel that way, Josh.
I do, Bob.
But you're,
and you really feel the opposite.
Well, because you're absolutely wrong. Frankly.
Okay. I would like to hear
how frankly, my dear. So no. I mean, I get your point. There's two tensions. Mm-hmm. What you're putting tension on is priority and business value. And yeah. I'm not going to negate it. I'm also putting sort of pressure on doneness, not having partially complete work. Because the danger in what you're doing, if it gets excessive, is it can screw the capacity of the team down the road. So let's say we're always carrying, we have a lot of, and I'll give you a hard example, developers and testers. So mm-hmm. the odds are you're going to have the developers to get it coded, but you're not going to, if you have testers on a team, they may not have the time to test it. So now we have development done work that goes to the next sprint, right? And so there's no development capacity, but now we've sort of eked up. So now whatever the developers bite off, the testers has some extra stuff to do from the previous sprint. Let's exaggerate that a little bit. And we start now really affecting the testers. Either product quality is going to give, or the tester is going to lose their quality of life, et cetera. So the 1 point story doesn't do that, but let's say 30% of every sprint is carryover, 30 to 40%. And you know the ratios come into play. So testers would typically, you know, there's a high probability that the tester is going to get screwed. So that's what I'm saying is priority, and then thinking about the balance of the team's capacity. But you don't care about the team, and if people have to, lose their lives and not know what their kids' names are anymore and stuff like that.
That's exactly what I'm suggesting that we do. Yes. So the sprint boundary is an artificial thing that we've created where we now reevaluate our plan of action. And I am perfectly comfortable with things being carried over for perfectly valid reasons. Again, we finished all the things that we plan to do. Cool. What's next? Oh gosh, that's a bit of a beefy monster. You know what? Let's like get a jump start on it. Let's start working on that. Let's start doing the thing so that we get to complete, we get to that value sooner rather than later. We are, with Bob's approach, you are choosing to delay value. And I don't understand why. I understand where Bob's saying of like, hey, you know, there's some carryover and now you put this role in a tough spot. What does that mean? Like, I don't understand how all of a sudden it's a tough spot.
Get ahead, right? You've never been a tester. You've never been, right? In agile contexts, you can get hosed. That's what all, and it's other, any downstream role. It's not just any downstream, because when you say we're going to get ahead, typically it's development ahead. It's design ahead. It's architecture ahead, right? It's prototyping ahead. It's not a holistic team view. It's typically front loaded. It still has that waterfallish mentality to it. So that's what I'm saying. I'm fine with grabbing. So what I'm saying is, all right, we can pull something in. Are we going to slam dunk the current sprint? I don't like this notion of what if all the developers on a sprint team say, we're done with our stuff. we want to work on the next sprint.
No.
Okay.
That is not, no, done means done. Done is everything is fully like shippable, deployed to wherever it is. Like, so everybody is responsible for making that happen. We don't cross finish lines separately.
That's
hand in hand.
Okay.
So we are not leaving people behind, which is why I'm getting fired up. And I think the whole challenge that we're having here is that I don't view as like, hey, part of the group is moving on and like laughing, haha, you're still back there. No, it's not that. We are traversing this together. We are choosing to start this thing together.
So that's one aspect. I'm with you. But there is still this aspect where you could accumulate downstream work, that carryover story, the development points are done, and the only remaining thing in the planning is testing. That's fine. That's all I'm getting at. It's about, it can get out of whack. So it's a team decision, but it can really get out of whack and unbalance the team from the, the inside.
To be successful with Josh's approach, you have to be hyper-focused on we operate as a single unit.
Ah, now
if you have any flavor where that's not true, then Bob is 100% right.
So I'm now thumbs up on Josh. So yes, that's all. Yeah, it's because it's sort of, the skew can get out of control.
Yeah. So proceed with caution if you want to take the approach that I'm talking about. That caution is, does your team already operate from, again, we are walking this story across the finish line hand in hand. However many of us are working on this, whatever those roles are, we cross together at the same time. We finish together. That doesn't mean that the work happens at the same time, but we are all responsible for getting it across the finish line, and we're going to push, pull, drag, whatever we have to do.
And we're going to meet that goal. And we're going to meet the goal, and we're either going to be successful or we're going to fail. And we succeed as a group, and we fail as a group. Go ahead.
And if you're not there as a team or a culture yet where you don't operate like that, then don't do what I'm saying. Then operate like Bob is saying. Operate where, like, hey, let's be careful. Let's not further create the separation. Right? There's a bit of a chasm between roles and handoffs. And so now you already have these little chasms you have to jump over. If you now create that over a sprint boundary, you're making that chasm even bigger.
Oh.
And then you just keep spreading it out. That's the issue.
What a journey I've been on. One moment I hate you. Now I want to give you a hug. Oh my gosh, Josh. I feel like I'm on a roller coaster here.
Well, we didn't say it was spicy.
I want to get back to planning. Okay, so that's the end. But I want to talk about some of the struggle points. So planning is a struggle point. Backlog. So to me, I want to tee up, because I think they're interrelated, backlog refinement and then sprint planning. And so if you're struggling in the sprint and you're struggling with a failure, goaling and things like that. So planning to me wraps around the sprint goal. And I want to see the team plan together instead of having individuals. You know, I've seen individuals, they send their little plan, my plan in and Josh's plan, and the scrum master merges it or something. That's not planning. Even if you're distributed, get together, look around the table, look at your capacity, and sort of plan things out. Make sure you're not overloading one person or underloading someone. Make sure you have cross-team skills and dependencies managed. Visualize it. Not a big deal. Doesn't have to take hours and hours to do it. Planning. And then the backlog refinement sort of tees that up, because you're exploring the stories early, you're breaking them down, et cetera. And then by the time you have that working set of stories, you've already done the discussion. Now you're just sort of fine-tuning how are we gonna meet the goal. Maybe that's a better way. Forget planning. The P word is fraught with danger. How are we gonna work together, damn it, effectively, efficiently, to meet the goal, to deliver this chunk of work to meet the goal. So,
and that goal is not just get all the stories done.
Ah, yes.
That's where, again, that's that's one of the challenges. And again, it is likely because product presence is low, product experience. Not that you don't have good people. It's just like it takes reps to wrap around like, hey, these stories to build this back end and this front end and blah, blah, blah. Like, cool, we're going to do all that stuff. But what does that translate to? What does that mean? What, again, like I go back to, what does the user feel differently? They open your product and they go like, oh, cool, I can do this now. Yes. Click, 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 done. And they're like, man, that's so much better. I like, man, today's a good day. You know, so how, what are the, what are those things that you're making happen for your end user that are a sum of all of those tasks and things and stories that you've just planned? So all of those need to align to deliver to that. And that's like one of those like rallying flags or cries that come up is during that sprint, you might get some curveballs that are thrown at you, or people have thoughts, ideas of how we can do something. And that's good, but does it help you achieve that goal? If it doesn't, then hold off on it. Wait until that next sprint. If it does, then yeah, let's make it happen. But that's that final checkpoint that you have to do as a team of, hey, is this a change that we should make? Does right. it help us achieve the goal? Yes or no? Yes, cool, let's do it. No, okay, sounds great for the next sprint.
Hey, Josh, I wanna, so yes, during the sprint, something pop, we the team signs up for a goal. Let's say they, mm-hmm. I know you and I maybe have different ideas about tasking. Mm-hmm. I like to task, you know, but let's say during the sprint, you know, we tested or didn't, but we talked about the nuance of developing these stories, but the team missed something. Yeah. They missed, let's say it's 5 points worth of work. So a significant chunk of work, no one thought of it. It was like, holy crap, we have to test this in 28 environments before we're done. And that's going to be 5 extra points. So they can't meet the goal. They committed to a goal. They can't meet the goal without doing that work. How would you handle that?
That's a discussion of what do we do? Like there is no single answer for me. A lot of people ask those questions of like, hey, we're stuck. What do? We discovered this thing. What do we do? How do we succeed here? Well, you have to have a discussion of like, okay.
See, I think we're disagreeing. All right. Ooh. So let me hit you with my, there's a discussion. I'm not Attila the Hun. But at the same time, my initial reaction is, ladies and gentlemen, we committed to the goal. We did insufficient analysis before. That's shame on us, actually. So I want us to suck it up and hit the damn goal. Or what can we do to suck it up and hit the damn goal? I'm not trying to squeeze more juice from the lemon, but damn it. Because I guess my argument is we'd have to cut the goal down.
Yes.
Right. We'd have to cut let's say this 5 points is at the heart of the goal and we should have done better. So I'm going to put back pressure on the team. I'm not trying to kill anyone, but damn it, let's live up to our word. We committed to this damn goal. Let's hit this damn thing. Ria, I know that probably makes you feel bad.
No, it doesn't. Again, I go back to that sprint goal. That's our rallying cry. Similar to what Bob said, like, hey, this is the thing we said we're going to do. You know what? We're going to do the things we say we're going to do. But also there's times where you truly have that oh shit moment where it's like, listen, we can put in extra time, we can do whatever, but like, it's not going to happen. Correct. Which is again, why I started with the discussion and I slow played a little bit because there's like a million different ways it can go. Is it something like, okay, cool. Yeah. We actually have this other story at the end of the sprint. We can kick that. We can wait. We're going to be okay. Yes. We're going to put like, yes, we screwed up. And that's where I don't think enough teams really accept responsibility. I don't think there's enough teams that accept that responsibility and do a good enough job in the moment and in the retrospective of like, hey, right. To use a Bobism, hey, we screwed the pooch. And so now, like, how do we learn from it? To me, that's a that's a lesson. That's a definitive moment for a team where we recognize that, we accept, daggone it, we had a swing and a miss. But you know what? We're going to learn from it. So the thing that I look for is that reaction. What is that team doing differently the next time that they plan? So yes, you have to own it. Yes, you have to take responsibility for what you signed up to do. Yes, you're going to do everything in your power to make that happen. But also there's times where
I agree.
You try as you might, it just might not happen.
But it's that intent.
Yeah, Bob's lead with that answer is 100% correct. The intent has to be, we own this.
Yeah.
And just like you would expect with good customer service, if you were using a product and something came back, or you got shipped something and it was the wrong product, like you thought you were getting a blue shirt, you got a red shirt.
Yep.
You're going to call them up. It's like, hey, I got this red shirt. And you would expect them to try and make it right.
Exactly.
So you as the team, the same thing happened. Like, hey, we told you we're shipping you a red shirt, but actually we shipped you a blue shirt. With it. We'll get your red shirt eventually.
Exactly.
You know, that's not what you expect. So don't be that team that you would get frustrated with and go write something mean on Twitter or Facebook or whatever social media platform that you like about this company that's failing you. Like, don't be that group.
Right. I'd say another fail. I want to go back to failure for a second, Josh, and I'm not changing, but I think part of sprint success or failure is the team building confidence in the leadership? Are the leaders gaining confidence in the team? Not so much. Can they deliver on their goals? If they're going to miss the goals, are they going to be truthful? Are they in the right spirit? Are they in the right mindset? Right. And I start getting sprint over sprint. I know the goals matter, but to me as a leader, cumulatively, it's almost more important than failures and successes. Do I start gaining confidence in that team? I can trust that team, right? That team's going to be truth telling. It's more important than the damn deliveries. I mean, I want the goaling or the points. It's more important than that. I trust that team. They're working as hard as they can. They're walking their talk. They're trying to learn. They're doing continuous improvement. And I think the sprint is, so there's this meta success or failure. I think equally leaders can lose faith in teams as well over time. Reaction to that?
Yeah. So to me, and we've talked about the analogy of football and agile, but sprint is just that predetermined time where we're going to see, like, hey, did we win or did we lose? It's like a first down in football. Did we make the first down or do we have to punt? You know, and okay, again, you think about your football team, it, like, as the game goes and maybe you're down a touchdown or two, do you have confidence in your offense to make that big play? Or do you have, like, back it off? Like, ooh, I don't know if we can make that play. We haven't proven we can get it done. The same thing of, like, do I believe in our teams to deliver when it continues to matter? And so that's all the sprint is for me, is it's the time for us to, like, call time out and say, like, okay, cool. How are we doing? Are we learning? Do we need to adjust? What do we do? And it's in those moments where you define the confidence, or you create the confidence both for yourself as the team, but also within the rest of the organization. Like, dang,
exactly.
These folks are good.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, sure. Exactly. Sure, they fumbled something a little bit, but you know what? I am going to bet on them again. And I can't wait till the next sprint demo or review, whatever you want to call it. And they're going to come back and they're going to be pretty freaking awesome.
And Metacasters, in this time of layoffs and challenges and things in our industry, I personally think that this leadership mindset, confidence, is more important than any velocity or any points, right? And you can either have it or you cannot have it. And I think it comes into leaders' minds when they're trimming organizations, when they're thinking about budgetary constraints, when they're promoting, etc. That matters, that level of confidence. So it's not this trivial. I know it's intangible, it's a feeling, but I think it's a really important feeling. Metacasters, I want a round of applause for Josh weaving football and connecting football into the discussion. So it's been a while. It's actually been a while since we've connected football to a Metacast episode. Josh, I don't know. Have we danced around your topic, or have we hit it, or is there something?
I feel we addressed the issues. I feel better now. This was something that I sent Bob an email about a day or two ago, because I was just fired up and I wanted to talk about it, and I feel better. I feel like I got it off our chest. We said things that I am hopeful that people can walk away with, start taking some actions on, and start making their sprint plans and executions a little bit better.
Can I agree and then or which one do I want to do first? So I thought I disagree with you. When you said this, you were very rambunctious. You were like, I think every team in the known universe fails sprints all the time. And this is in an email, Metacasters. And I'm like, in my head, I was like, boy, I disagree. That's wrong, Josh. So I didn't think it was, I thought he was just being flamboyant or exaggerating. Because I didn't see it that way. I mean, I see crappy teams. Trust me, I see struggling teams. But I didn't see it as like, this is the most pervasive thing or one of the biggest problems in Agile. But I actually think not getting the view of what a sprint is and what a sprint isn't and what success is, I agree with Josh. I think getting the essence of this Metacast, everyone, that's the point. And too many people have all these artificial concerns. Now there's drivers for them: bad leadership, cultures, fear at the team level, safety. So we're not saying it's easy, but listen to this episode and try to hit the mindset, the sprint goal mindset that we're talking about, because that's the point. Hey, Josh, yes, how do we end this? I like this ending where, what's the elevator pitch for the talk?
That's good and difficult. Your sprint goal is how you define a successful sprint. And I accept that for many teams and many organizations, defining a good sprint goal is challenging. If that is true, get some product level help. Reach out to me, reach out to Bob, reach out to other coaches that are out there that can help you and your company adopt that product level mindset. But so many places operate in that, like, hey, we're doing stuff. And like, if we can show we're turning the crank faster, then we're doing a good job. But you might be turning the crank in the wrong direction and not even know it.
So
that was not a good elevator pitch. No. That was a very long elevator ride.
But it was right on. So yes, and to what Josh said, I'm going to say sprint goals are the goal. Suck it up and plan and hit your goals. And do it for your team and do it for your leadership and do it for your customers. And did I say suck it up?
I think you did.
All right. Yeah. So from beautiful downtown Cary, North Carolina.
And from beautiful downtown Fuquay, Varina, North Carolina.
I'm Bob Galen.
And I'm Josh Anderson.
Shake.
And bake.
Take care, y'all.
All right, Robert.
I'm getting succinct. I have the capability. I can do that. I'm so proud of you. Can teach an old dog new tricks. Man.